Hi, everyone, and welcome to our third POPS episode, The Power of Positive Speech. We've spoken already about the power of speech, about being refined in our speech, about being human. Today, we're going to focus on the fact that speech literally gives life. There is a fascinating essay called The Power of Words by Susan Smalley, who's a behavioral geneticist in UCLA. She's an expert in mindfulness. And she talks about how words change the world. They shape the reality in which we live. She quotes a study that scientists have found that just hearing sentences about elderly people led research subjects to walk more slowly. In other research, individuals read words of loving kindness, and then they showed increases in self-compassion, improved mood, and reduced anxiety. She once read, and she shares a fascinating, beautiful insight, that a word is like a living organism. It's capable of growing, changing, spreading, and influencing the world in many ways, directly and indirectly, through others. We would quote the Pasuk in Mishlei that says, Maves v'chayim biyad halashon. Our mouths hold the capacity, literally, for maves, for death, for destruction, for bullying, Rachmana Litzlan, and for chayim, for life, for giving someone life. There's an author, her name is Deborah Tannen, and she tells a powerful, amazing, beautiful story about her widowed great-aunt Emma. Emma was a woman in her late 70s. She was overweight, balding. Her legs and hands were misshapen by arthritis. And one day, she actually fell in love with an older gentleman, also in his 70s, and they spent a lot of time together visiting museums, enjoying life. And she tried, Emma did, to explain to her niece what this relationship meant to her. She said that one night she had gone out with her friends for dinner, and when she came home, this boyfriend of hers called. She described to him how she went out to dinner, and he listened with interest. And then he asked her, "What did you wear?" As Emma recounted this conversation to her niece, she started to cry. She said, "Do you know how many years it's been since anyone asked me what I wore?" Because when you ask someone a positive question, when you inquire about them, when you share a good word, all of a sudden you give them life. There's a beautiful Torah from the Beis Avram of Slonim that I heard from Rabbi Melech Biederman. Says the pasuk, the statement that we say in davening every day in the Shemona Esrei, Machaye Mesim b'ma'amaro. What does it mean, Machaye Mesim b'ma'amaro? It doesn't just mean that God revives the dead with his speech. It means that we give people life just by speaking to them. There's an unbelievable story. There's a musicologist, a teacher. Her name is Audrey Hunt from California. She was teaching in Moore Park, California, this beautiful sleepy town in a community college in the 1970s. And she had a student in her class, a young man with brown wavy hair, sad green eyes, and a mouth that never seemed to smile. His name was Edward. He was tall, but he was quiet and almost like a pitiful demeanor. On the first day of class, different students mill around in different ways. And this young man, Edward, walked in. He slumped into his chair. And he lowered his head with his arms folded in kind of like this resigned manner. And that was the way he walked in every day in the semester. And unfortunately, he didn't do very well in the class. He managed to turn in basic homework, basic, but didn't participate very much. He rarely talked to anybody. But the teacher, she continued to take an interest in him. This Audrey Hunt paid attention to him. And when he missed classes, she would try to reach out to him. Afterwards, what happened? Everything okay? And the more positive interest she showed in Edward, she noticed that his grades increased a little bit. They got better. But she was worried what was going to happen with the final exam. And she said a final prayer for him and hoping that he would do well. And she was a young educator at that time, so she wanted to make sure that she was educating and grading by the book. So she gave all the exams to all the students, and Edward turned in the exam, but he looked worn out, he looked defeated, and she told him that she would be giving out the final exam grades on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. And Tuesday morning came. She made breakfast. She fed her kids. And she headed out to school. And she knew she had a responsibility. And grades were based on classroom participation and homework, exams, everything. And of course, Edward was going to be no exception. And maybe he needed to learn a lesson. So she sat in her office, she describes, and one student came in at a time, closed the door, and they left after being, quote unquote, judged. And she's looking around, where's Edward? Where's Edward? Doesn't show up. And he's not there. And she's wondering what happened. She couldn't figure out what to do. Meanwhile, finally, he doesn't show up. And he didn't show up anyway, but she finally put down next to his name. Imagine she was going to put down the letter D, because that's what he deserved. She gathered up her stuff, and she's out the door on the way down the hall, and she sees who's walking there, Edward. And he mamish looks terrible. His eyes were sunk with dark black circles, and the hollows of his cheeks were drawn. His swollen lips were cracked. He looked terrible. She said, would you like some water? He said, no, thank you. He was kind of trembling. And he said, I know I'm getting a low grade on my final. I haven't been participating that much. I'm a lazy, selfish, stupid, and ugly, no good for anything person. This is what the guy said. I have no place on this earth, and what's more, no one can ever love a person like me. I am a hopeless case with absolutely no future. And Audrey, she couldn't believe her ears. She wanted to interrupt him and stop him and convince him. And she fought back her own tears. When he finally finished, she said, I faced him. I looked directly into his very sad eyes and said, Edward, your final grade is an A. He was shocked. You're giving me an A? Me? Why would you give me an A? She said, I answered Edward, you may appear to be a D student, but you are an A person. I believe in you now, and I will always believe in you. I'm here for you now, and I will always be here for you. Never, ever forget that. Now go and create the life you dream of. Believe in yourself. I will be watching. And by the way, Edward, I love you. Audrey said in all her years of teaching, she never graded a student that way. And that night she went home and she's tossing and turning in bed. Maybe she made a mistake. Was this a good idea, a bad idea? At 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang, and in a fog, she answered the phone, and a voice asked if she were Edward's music theory and piano teacher at Moore Park College. And she said yes to the man. And the man said, I'm a priest from Edward's church, and I have something to tell you. I want to thank you on behalf of Edward's family and myself for saving his life today. The priest went on to explain the events leading up to this phone call. Edward had an older brother who had always been angry because he's short, although scholastically a high achiever and excels in sports. And he was always jealous of his bigger, younger brother. And he belittled and verbally abused Edward most of his life. And this caused Edward to have several bouts of depression and low self-esteem. And he desperately wanted to please his brother, but he never could. And finally, that day, he had left a note on his pillow, and it read, I am sorry that I could not be the kind of son and brother you all wanted me to be. All I ever wanted to be was loved. I'm sorry for being unlovable. I will go now. You will find me in the closet. I'm sorry for any inconvenience I have caused you. Please have my body cremated. My small savings is in the top right-hand drawer of the dresser. He wrote that note before meeting with his music teacher. And he decided, for some reason, that he had to go collect his test before he was going to do that awful thing. But unbelievably, the words of this music teacher changed his life. It literally gave him life. He had never heard those words, and that's all he needed. And he left the office. He decided to take a long walk in the park, and he felt loved. And in the meanwhile, the family found the note and they went to the closet, Lo Aleinu, I don't want to say what was in there. And mamish, the power of the spoken word. Mechaye meisim b'ma'amaro. We can give people life. Reb Melech has a beautiful vart. The pasuk says, Naftali ayola shlucha hanosein imre shefer. Naftali, the one of the 12 sons of Yaakov who's associated with flight, with running very quickly. If you look in Israel, the post office, it has the symbol of an ayala, of like a deer or a gazelle running to deliver the mail. Naphtali ayala shlucha, it's a sent gazelle. Hanosein imre shefer, that gives a beautiful word. Ramelech has a beautiful vart. He says, what is it, is ayala shlucha, that it runs fast. He says, it's like if you have an emergency vehicle, they can cut through the traffic. They put on the siren and they just go. Nothing stops them. They move quickly. Hanosein imre shefer. If you give somebody a good word, imre shefer, beautiful words, you can be like an ayala shlucha. You can cut through the darkness in their life. My wife, Nechama, her uncle for many years was an elementary school principal in a particular school on the East Coast. And he told me once that in that school, they had a girl who showed up the first day of class, who registered for the school, who was new because she joined a new family. She was part of a blended family. The parents had just gotten married, and now she moved to this new town and this new school, and she had a very hard time in school. And Nechama's uncle told me that at one point he noticed this girl was really struggling, and he called her into his office, and he said to her, what's going on, and how are you managing, and what can we do to support you? And finally he said to her, how do you make it every day? And she said, I'll tell you. It's obviously very hard for me in a lot of ways, a new family, a new community, and a new school. But the first week of school, a girl sat down next to me at the lunch table, and she said to me, don't worry, I'll always be your friend. I'll be here for you. Don't worry, I'll have an opportunity to sit with you. I'll have an opportunity to play with you. I'll be here for you. Don't worry. He said, the girl said, that's how I'm still in the school. Because mechaye meisim b'ma'amaro, you can give someone life through speech. Of course, unfortunately, the opposite is also true. The Gemara in Bava Metzia teaches about the destructive power of onoas devarim, of verbal abuse, of negative speech. So we can create the opposite. There's a beautiful vart from the Heiliges Shem Yishmul, the Sachachava Rebbe, Rav Shmuel Bornstein from Parshas Matos, where he describes that a person who uses positive speech, their mouth becomes a kli sharis, a vessel in the service of Hashem, like in the Beis HaMikdash. And what does that do? It is mekadesh mashinos nebo. It sanctifies what you put in it. Your mouth is a utensil of a kli sharis. It is a vehicle through which you can literally give life. You can give life to individuals, and it can also give life to all of Klal Yisrael. And this is what we're going to talk about next time. The impact on speech, creating society, creating relationships, creating community. Kol mevaser mevaser v'yomer. It's our power of speech that gives good news, that brings tidings to other individuals to give them life, and to the whole community as a whole. Looking forward to continuing next time.